Hello, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are on the face of the earth. Welcome to the Widow's Mite. My name is Regina Akriso Bodo, aka Mama Reg. I am the chief facilitator of the Rejupanage Consult and also the visionaire of the Widow's Mite, where we bring back the energy into the life of that widow that has lost our loved one, telling her that it is not over, because within the pain that could also be a gift. Welcome. Today's topic is very interesting, and that is talking about deliberately getting your healing. Let's take a break. When we return, we continue. So welcome back. Like I said, today's topic is very, very interesting. And by the way, always follow our podcast on the Anchor FM. Yes, talking about the podcast Anchor FM. It actually shared among all the platforms across the globe. We're streaming live. Of course, we are actually casting live from Lagos, Nigeria. Today being the 9th of September 2020. I'm going straight again, talking about what we had said earlier, and we're going to talk about how a widow should heal. Because a hurting heart would always hurt, whether you like it or not. Now, beginning with what hurt is all about, of course, it's a common thing that we all know. It's a common thing that is that seems to be a basic for any woman that has gone through the loss of her hubby. Yes, we go through hurts, we go through pains, and that we go through heartbreaks, as it were, with different dimensions in our hearts. But the basic one is talking about the hurt. Now, hurt is not even as a result of the loss of the husband. Sometimes the hurt can come as a result of activities during the burial, during or before or after the burial, through very many other means. And so let me try and break down to some of the means that could curse, or some of the actions that could cause one hurting. One of the actions, especially in Africa, we found out that a lot of women are hurting because of the I'm using this word deliberately and intentionally, atrocities meted against them. A lot of women have gone through what we call harmful traditional and cultural practices. Some of them are made to stay in ashes. Some of them are scraped their hair. They got their hair scraped. Some of them have got their husband's properties, taken away from them by the family of the husband. Some, it's even the children have been taken estranged from them, because the thought is that she cannot. They share the children across without any consent or having to negotiate with the woman, as it were, or having her dialogue with her, not for any other reason other than she is just a wife. It gets even worse for some of these women, especially when the children are boys, because it's assumed that the name and the legacy of the man should continue, and then the family decides automatically that the woman, because she lost her husband, she cannot be capable of taking care, irrespective of her opinion. And so women go through this pain and hurt, and then it becomes so much that you would hardly find an average widow, especially within some category, the average living income, average income living families, that you will find a widow that is actually happy. She's gone through these experiences, and the unfortunate thing, it could be with family members or people that hitherto she had good relationship with. Hitherto she never thought, she had always called them widows. But women, in fact, in Africa, it's a shame to say that even women consider that as a responsibility to carry out a tradition that nobody actually can tell exactly when it started. Now, these are some of the things that cause a lot of hurt for a widow and to a widow. There are other things that cause hurts in a widow. It has to do with, it could be even the process, how some people came, the mourning processes. It could be friends that actually speak and say words that are hurtful. Sometimes there is this grieving. A woman could grieve to some degree that somebody just sits down and feels that it's irritating. You've got to have it enough. I think you should cry enough. After all, You are not the first. You know, we get to hear that a lot in Africa, such mourning process. And we're going to talk about this in due course, because I'm in one of my, I think in subsequent editions, because there are times that we are bad mourners. Many of us don't know how to console a grieving woman. And I did that on my YouTube channel some 2 years ago or so, where you find out that the grieving or the mourners that come to console actually end up aggravating the situation for the widow. And so it leaves the widow more exacerbated, and some, because she respects them for whatever reason, she might not have any opportunity to speak back to them. Now, we also have some of the hurt that a widow experiences as a result of the workload, the responsibility, especially when the death was very sudden. Maybe the children are toddlers. Some of them, we have widows that were pregnant when the man left. I mean, she lost the husband. She was pregnant and she had toddlers. And then the responsibilities left on her. Maybe she fought and resisted that harmful tradition and says she wants to keep her children. And so properties are taken away from her and she's left with nothing just to cater. And so she gets so exhausted and then pent up anger and pain. And then that causes, you know, those, all of these things also cause hurt. And so you find out such a woman lives with a kind of a perpetually looking as if she's grieving. And these are some of the things that help, I mean, that keep a woman grieving or hurt. And then there's also another one, unforgiveness, self-forgiving. You find widows, some widows are with my daily interactions with widows, we find them that they just regretted. They felt, some of them have not forgiven themselves of the fact that they thought they caused the death because they had the ability to stop XYZ from happening. It could be, if it was an accident, I heard a woman said, I knew it, I had a dream and I had spoken to him, don't go out, but he resisted and still went. Maybe I should have asked him, I should have just caused some kind of a trouble for him to stay, and I didn't, and then he dies and I'm left with this. And so she builds up that unforgiveness upon herself and then becomes more hurt in the process. We have others that the hurt is actually about caused by the children. In the course of it, we find out that children become so unruly. Children become you find that widows become so overwhelmed, especially this time around, this talking about the children that are already in their adolescent ages and some that are going towards teenage age. And she gets so carried away and concentrated upon how she should be protecting and giving food to them. And so she leaves that responsibility of finding their social responsibilities, which is some of the social, staying at home, taking care of. And then they kind of lose, you know, they get, their reins are loosed and they go gaga, as it were. And then you find a widow feeling so incompetent, feeling like she has, I mean, let herself down and has not become the same mother that she's supposed to be. So a lot of things actually cause hurt to a widow in Africa. And I'm sure it's all across a number of widows. There are other reasons why we'll find them hurting. But what are we talking about? We're talking about generally that a person or the widow that experiences such hurt, she must have to go a step further if she wants to heal. And like I said today, if you went to my Instagram page, you'll find out that we talk about you can't heal if you're not healed. And so a hurting person would always, whether knowingly or unknowingly, hurt another person, because you cannot give what you do not have. And what are we talking about today on The Widow's Mite? Our concentration is that do everything possible to heal. Now, one of the ways you'll be wondering, you say, Mama Rich, how can I get healed? I am in pain and I need help. Now, one of the things that I would strongly advise is one, because I have encountered and I have given some advice to some of these women that I enumerated, and one great way to heal. And I'm sure I'm not talking to you as a point like a professional therapist, but I know it has worked for me. First of all and foremost is you must forgive yourself. You must forgive yourself. Start by forgiving yourself. Don't remember, don't bother. Yes, time would heal. Yes, I know, but start with that step. They say a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a step. This first step to forgiving yourself, I mean to healing, is to forgive yourself of what you ought to have done, or what you should have done, or what you shouldn't have done. All of these, or both of these, are major, major reasons why women don't get healed. Widows, you don't get healed. So first of all, you never can tell. You might have done that, because if you check, there's someone somewhere that must have gone through the dreams or gone through actions that wanted to help, and yet it didn't happen. And so what that means is that it's a cue to tell you that you would have done that, you could have done that, and then still things would have gone all right. And so first of all, think about yourself. Would you live, especially for those of us that have children, when I leave, why do I want to live? Because most times we live because of the children. We have to live because of the children. The children have to grow. They don't deserve suffering. They don't deserve punishment. Yes, you are hurting, but do not allow your hurt to rub off on them, because you're destroying their own future. And inadvertently, you are destroying yours, because these children will end up at your old age, as it were, or sometime in life, you might need their help. So why destroy everybody because you are going through hurt? So forgive yourself first. Forgiveness is not because other people did not wrong you, but it's a healing process, because piling up of unforgiveness is another way. I actually learned that part of the things that cause a lot of sickness is there. So many sicknesses are attached to things like that. Unforgiveness, envy, anger, you know, the negative vibes that we build up within ourselves. So do everything possible to make sure things like that are off your way. Now, having forgiven yourself, what do you do? Begin to think about, if it's possible, I would advise you sit down, get a pen and a paper, write down who you think hurt you. Now, there's a possibility also, let me put it here, is that that person might not, or she or he, or the group of people might not know that they hurt you. There are some that actually know that they did and care less about it. So why are you forgiving them? All because of you. Because first, it's about you. You need to live again. You need to start a new chapter in your life. You need to be happy again. You need to be, to enjoy your life. Life has happened, but that was an event. It shouldn't be the whole of your entire life. So write them down, list them. Family members, I'm talking especially to the African woman, or especially in Nigeria, those that have hurt you. Yes, they've taken your husband's property, but look at it on the other side. The bottle is not half empty, it's half full. Oh, I'm alive. That same person can rebuild. I've seen people from nothingness to greatness. We've heard that. We've read a lot of inspiring stories. Get your pen and paper and begin to forgive. Release them. Release them. Release your husband's family, your in-laws, release those people, release those friends that were hitherto your friends and have turned their backs on you. Accusers, people that have suspected you. You know, we hear ridiculous things in Africa, how they'll say, okay, the man didn't just die. There must be something. When a man dies in Africa, it's so common to hear that it couldn't have been natural. Most deaths of men in Africa, of people generally, really, is that it was not normal. We never accept. And one of the bad sides of it, we don't like to get to know the post-mortem and do a post-mortem and find out. Rather, we'd want to be suspicious. We want to, you know, concoct some conspiracy theories, and that actually hurts. And so write them down, forgive, and then you would notice that at first it could look like it's fake. But when you keep repeating to yourself, this is what I'm telling you because I've done it. You keep telling yourself, keep speaking it to people. Look, I've forgiven, I've pushed it aside. and you mean it, very soon you realize it's like a burden that has been lifted up off you. And then the next thing is that begin to think of giving yourself the reality of the things that are happening. Actually hurt at blocks your eyes or your mind from facing the truth and reality. So when you clear yourself of unforgiveness, the burden of unforgiveness for personal and of course people that have hurt you, the next thing you'll find out that you will begin to face the reality that this man, this husband of yours, this lover of yours, no matter the relationship you've had, is gone and gone for good. But you have to pick up your life and move on with it. And so you begin to see clearer picture, the picture of where you are right now, the situation you are, whether socially, whether economically or otherwise. That way you find yourself also beginning to rediscover yourself and beginning to find out how to plot a new chart for yourself. Yes. That, I'm telling you, is very possible. If you practice this, you would be surprised that it works. Another thing is that for whatever reason, I'm one of those that believes strongly in God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you are a Christian like I am, I would advise you strongly to get more intimate with your God. Begin to unveil yourself, reveal yourself, because we believe in Christianity that God actually, because I've practiced it over the years and I found it is true. Actually, when you cast your burdens to Him that knows much more than you are, like I like to give this analogy, the creator or the manufacturer of a car actually is the one with the manual. He knows exactly where it hurts. So most times when you dump it in the hand of God, and I use the word dump, yes, literally carry it and dump in His hands, you'll find out that with time, and through prayers, meditation, and reading the Word of God, you begin to find out that there are some of these hurts that are not worth it. You begin to see how light and mundane they look, no matter how big they were in your eyes when they first occurred. You begin to see that you commonize it. You begin to see it small. Because they say it, even in a psychologist's advice, sometimes it's the way we magnify a problem that it looks big. But when you make a problem look as small as it's, you know, you demystify it immediately. That's what I'm advising you. Demystify the problem and release it in God's hand, because there is a bigger hand over it. And so before you know it, it shrinks. Before you know it, it disappears. And of course, talking about the pain caused by children, maybe the burden of carrying the children, you might begin to think of multiple streams of income, you know, to help the children, because sometimes it's because of lack that we get so angry, and pent up anger just busts and we begin to hurt. So begin to think of multiple, another stream of income. How do I get them? Get those children together. Redesign your relationship and redefine your relationship with the children. Could be that you actually abandon them. Now, children don't always understand that you're only in the grief. Yes, sometimes you have to make them understand. Every child grieves, but everyone has his grieving, you know, level. So some children might be wondering, Mommy, yes, we know you're grieving, but you've taken it on us. And so what do they do? They begin to look for channels where their words, because such times they shut down because you have not been speaking to them. So they shut down on you and open up a door. Once a child shuts down, does not mean that it just talks to itself. It just opens a door to another. And most times such others are not the best. So what do? Begin to work on getting your children back. These are points that if we are deliberate about that, we are deliberate and we mean it, we begin to realize that hurting would just, you know, kind of go down or go off. Now, should it get so intense that you've done all these processes and you feel, no, look, Regina, I cannot just release myself, I would advise you to go further. Begin to ask if a therapy works. Sometimes a long talk, some people that are, it's their training to listen to you over and over again. It's their training. They're great listeners. These are people that are called therapists, psychologists that that call, I think, mental wellness experts. Go to them, open up. That doesn't mean that you have gone bonkers, because there is the fear that anybody that was going to a shrink, the thought is that, oh, the person has gone gaga. But that's not the truth. We all need such people at some point of our lives. We need help. The world is going, that lot of turbulence that is going on, that we need some sort of a person that would listen from an expert point of view, that can identify and diagnose what the problem is and then give you a solution or proper solutions for you to take part of. Sisters, we do not need to remain hurt. I say it again, you do not need to remain hurt. There are thousands of women that have carried on with the hurt and ended up destroying themselves. And some of them actually, activity, let me just pause here and explain that. Some of us think that activities actually covers our hurt, but that's not true. All activity does is that it bottles it up and then it begins to grow. It begins to grow within you. It's a question of time. That is what we call an implosion within you. And when that implosion occurs, most times it becomes like a poison. You can imagine a pent up poisonous item in a bottle, and then you know that it's gaseous or some sort of, yes, it has the capability of busting, but it's been forced to stay locked up. It's a question of time it will bust. It's just a question of time. Just go put it in our eyes. Do you notice that things that are in ice blocks and in bottles, they are put in the freezers, and just a question of time they bust, because there's a level of iciness of a heart that ends up becoming an implosion within. And what happens, it affects everything around. And some people, they become so active doing other things and thinking that that covers up the pain. But when the implosion begins, it becomes so contagious and toxic to people around their areas. And they lose relationships, they lose businesses. And of course, sometimes at the end of the day, they lose their minds. So do you need to get to that level? I don't think you need to. So sister, I'm advising you today not to allow hurt to get to that level. Hurt, unfortunately, we are in such a life that things would always happen. Nobody is immune from this particular thing. But I'm talking from the perspective of the one that is caused as a result of you losing your husband, and then people or situation has brought to you. Don't get out of your way. Don't get out of your way to allow yourself to develop and build up your hurt. Once it comes, please do everything possible and release it. It is my mantra. It's a luxury, and I'm saying it here so that you get it, and I wish you take that as a mantra. It's a luxury to keep up anger. It's a luxury to keep up envy. It's a luxury. And that kind of luxury, I do not have the time to enjoy. That's how I tell myself. Hurt is a luxury, so I don't want to enjoy that kind of luxury. That you'll be wondering, that looks like a paradox, isn't it? Because luxuries are things that you easily acquire. And so I do not want that kind of a luxury. So what do? I discipline myself. I checkmate myself. I live away from where negative vibes come. I surround myself with joyful people. I surround myself with positivity. I surround myself by reading books. I put myself with the Word of God to continuously remind me of the fact that I am not alone. And that is the truth. When you think about yourself and begin to really, sometimes if we are to weigh what we're going through, you will find out that yours is so small as compared to other people. The other day, a woman called me and sent me a message rather and said, I am a widow. I don't know. She actually tried to explain to me the disease the child is going through. A 14-year-old that cannot sit, still uses diapers and cannot talk. Can you imagine the picture of what I'm just telling you, what I'm painting to you. I held myself. I couldn't do anything other than to tell her, my prayers are with you, and then we'll do what we can to help. So how about that? Let me assume this woman is painting up her own keeping hurt. Do you know what that would do to her? That would destroy her entirely. But she said, I am dedicated to this child and have made up my mind that he would not be useless in his life. And that to me is a positive woman. There is no amount of pain caused by people that you allow. I mean, that people would want to build up, that if you allow not, would happen to you. I gave you an example. Let me wrap it up with it. I gave an example in my live podcast on the Widow's Mite Facebook page. Please do go there. My link is actually the Facebook page of the Widow's Mite. This is what I gave an analogy of, and I'm wrapping it up with this. They say when a ship is on a high sea, as big as a ship is, when you notice, especially from looking at it from afar, you realize that as mighty as a ship is staying on the water, it looks like a tiny object. And then looking at it also, it moves upon the waves. No matter how the waves are rising, all the waves do is to raise the ship to wherever its destination is. But one of the things that sinks a ship is actually when the water, either sipping from underneath or coming from the top into the ship. Once water, there is a porousness of an entrance of water, it does not take time for that ship to actually sink. That is exactly what happens to someone that allows hurt to come. People might try to hurt you from outside. They might have thrown words, actions, and any other thing. The truth of it is, if you fortify yourself, make sure that underneath there is no space for it to sip in. As the Bible says, he that breaketh an edge, the serpent would bite. What that means is you expose a space and then there will be an entrance. No lizard enters a house that is well plastered, well taken care of. It's only when there is a slit or a breakage or there's some space that you find lizards coming in. That's how it is. You can be healed and you should be healed. Sisters, let's take time and realize that hurting can become a thing that you would end up being from a victim to becoming that who will perpetuate it. And don't be that person. And I hope you got what I'm saying today, and I'm sure you enjoyed. If you enjoyed this podcasting, I'd like you to invite as many as possible to listen. I'll be coming, once in a while, doing different episodes on the Widow's Mite on the Anchor FM podcast. And I'm sure you enjoyed this. Please let's share. Don't forget, on the Widow's Mite, we say, you've got the power. The power is in your hand. You have all it takes to pick up your life, your pieces together, to make yourself who you want to be, your children who you want them to be. You can even turn around, even if there were no children, you turn around your life, and when people look at you, they will wonder if you truly went through what you went through. Thank you very much for listening. And until I come your way with another topic, please do not stay hurt. My name is Regina Crisobodo. Thank you very much. God bless you.